Morning. How's everybody doing this morning? Well, we're in a study of Philippians. As you see on the screen there, it's a Philippians series, and we've been making our way through it. And this week, we're going to be looking at Philippians 4, the first part of Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. So if you can open your Bibles to Philippians 4, we're going to be looking at chapter 1, or verse 1 through 9. Today, we've got a lot of wonderful things going on. Really, really wonderful. We just shared in an Advent reflection. We're in Advent season. We're thinking and reflecting on peace. And today in our text, we'll be learning about peace, but we'll also be learning about the Christian outlook. And we're also going to be talking about baptism. So we've got peace, the Christian outlook, and baptism, which we get to celebrate today. Isn't that exciting? Yes, very, very exciting. That is something the angels rejoice in. So I'm going to try and do this. Peace, Christian outlook, baptism, 15 minutes. You guys ready? We ready? Ready. Woohoo! All right, let's do it. Philippians 4, the timer is start and the race begins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, you whom I love and I long for, my joy and my crown, stand firm in the Lord in this way, dear friends. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche that to be in the same mind in the Lord. Yes, and I ask you, my true companion, help these women since they have contended at my side in the cause of the gospel, along with Clement and the rest of my co-workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, all understanding, that's your understanding too, folks, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Praise God. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or even seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this powerful text, which has implications in so many aspects of the Christian life. God, I pray today that as we receive from your word, as we unpack these 9 verses a little bit, God, that you would be transforming our lives even now. Lord, that you would be conforming us to yourself in such a way that we would be peacemakers. Lord, that you would be transforming our vision in such a way that we could have an outlook that is described in verse 8. Help us, Lord, we pray, in the power of your presence and by the power of your Spirit. Amen. Amen. Well, so we have 3 things to cover, and 3 minutes are gone. It's all right, though. Peace, the Christian outlook, which is a big topic, you know, I'm very fond of, and baptism, which is amazing, an amazing celebration that we're going to share in today. So for peace, I'm going to focus in 2 sections. First, peace with others, and then peace with self, or an internal peace. And we see at the very top of this text in verses 2 and 3 that Paul is encouraging two sisters in the Lord to be at peace with one another, right? We had Euodia and Syntyche. And there's something going on, but we know that they are sisters in Christ. And he says that he wants them to have the same mind in the Lord. Now, that doesn't mean that they have to think exactly the same, or even that the mission that God has given them is exactly the same, or the way they live is exactly the same. No, none of that. But what we're celebrating today, and we'll talk about a little later as we touch on baptism, is the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And guess what? In Christ, we receive the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is perfectly one within us, right? That's right. Can I get an amen? Yeah, the Holy Spirit is perfectly one. And so when he's saying to be of the same mind, he's saying, we've talked about this multiple times. I think back to when we were discussing in Philippians 2, Christ's ministry in verses 6 to 8. We're talking about Christ's ministry and how he was incredibly humble and served others, even though he was God. And so for us, we surrender to the Spirit of God to be transformed into the image of God for the glory of Christ. And in that, we can be of the same mind. Isn't that cool? And it doesn't matter if you hang out in the same building on Sunday or you hang out in a different building on Sunday. It doesn't matter all the different doctrinal issues that you tend to put your feet down on or not. But if you've surrendered your life to Christ and received the Holy Spirit, Jesus is very clear. He wants us to be unified. He wants us to be one, like he and the Father are one, right? That's a peace that surpasses all understanding, right? It really does. When we can take a step back from our differences and understand what we share, and how it is so much greater than what divides us. So that's where Paul begins. So the beauty of a celebrating Advent peace this week is that Paul is focusing on peace. And as he goes into his last exhortation to these brothers and sisters who are his joy and his crown, his beloved friends in Christ and supporters, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I'll say rejoice in verse 4. And he says from this posture of rejoicing, of receiving the incredible gift of joy that we get from God. We can't manifest. We get it from God. It's through the power of the Holy Spirit. He says a divining characteristic in verse 5 of that peace, of us rejoicing in the Lord, is that we'll be defined by our gentleness. Right? We'll be defined by our gentleness. And that gentleness, as believers, when surrendered to the Spirit, will be evident to whom? To all. To all. Hey, that's going to be important. Hold on to that. Lock that away. It's going to swing back. But I think that this gentleness is this characteristic of gentleness that we display in our walk submitted to the Holy Spirit is a defining characteristic that allows us to be the peacemakers God is calling us to be. Okay? So that's peace with others. Paul's covered peace with others, and we've barely gotten into the text. Now he moves. He keeps moving, though. Peace doesn't only go out to others. He talks about peace with one's self. As we move into verse 6, he says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, present your requests to God. And he says that God's peace will guard your hearts and your minds. That's amazing. That's amazing. But there's also an element of direction that's presented in this chunk of text regarding peace. Notice, when it says that everyone is going to know you by this, what do they know you by? Gentleness, right? That's how you're known. So when I'm communicating, whether it's with my brothers or sisters, or whether it's with somebody outside of the community of faith, whether it's a non-believer, I should be known by my gentleness across the board. But where do my anxieties, my distress, my worry, my fear, all the things, the angst of life? We're not denying that the world is a dark world, but what do we do when we're addressing that darkness, whether it's darkness within or darkness without? What's it say? Prayer, petition, and how? How are we praying and petitioning to God? It says it right there. With thanksgiving. There's a reality check. I hope for everybody in the room, certainly for me. When you're going through the angst of life and addressing the hardship and the challenges, where do you go first? Are you going to God, and are you grateful? Well, why am I grateful? We're going to get to verse 8, okay? The outlook. We'll get there. But we're grateful. We're grateful people. But see the direction. The direction of where we're casting our stuff. Our gentleness is being cast on everyone. Our angst is being cast on God, who is able to actually do something about it. He's able to do something about it. Now, you might be thinking, hold on. What are you saying? I can't talk about my hardship with anyone? I just have to talk to God, and I just have to be a smiley-faced person on Sunday? No, I'm not saying that at all. I would discourage that heavily. We want to be and have encouraged us to be a community that is transparent, a community that loves so effectively that we can walk with each other and help each other carry our burdens. And that's what Jesus told us to do. But, I want you to ask yourself, in your relationships with your friends, those who you go and just talk with, okay? I'm not talking with a counselor. If you see a counselor or you're going and getting pastoral counseling on something or mental health counseling, you know, the nature of that relationship is one of, here's my burdens, help me, right? That's different. But when you're chatting with your friends, the people you chat with every day or every week, and if you were to ask them how they would define you, would the nature of their understanding of who you are be someone who is a peacemaker or a fearmonger? Okay? So that's just a test for yourself. And if the answer is fearmonger, then this isn't a moment for you to be like, shame. Not at all. The world is hard and it's dark for so many people in different seasons, in different ways. I'm not trying to discourage. I'm trying to encourage that in Christ Jesus, we can walk in a different direction. We don't have to stay where we are. I often engage with people who will, you know, will be dealing with a situation, and someone will be presenting characteristics of themselves that are particularly annoying. You ever had someone in your life where you're like, here's a situation, and I'm pretty certain this person's going to say this thing, and I'm already annoyed. I'm not doing well on time. The beauty of being a Christian, the beauty of the power that I believe the Holy Spirit has, is that we're not stuck. We're not stuck. Which gives us a different type of hope in relationship with our brothers and sisters, right? Because we don't prescribe that this is where you are, because we're all going somewhere else. And Lord willing, we're all walking there together towards maturity in Christ, which means each and every one of us should be changing all the time. All the time. So I want to encourage you and discourage you. Don't look at your brother and sister in Christ and say, this is who they are and this is all they'll ever be. Because that is not what Jesus died for. He died so that you could be like him. Light to the world. It's amazing. It's amazing. And we're going to celebrate that. And Paul reiterates this in the text. Because he says, help these women in verse 2, I think it is. When he's saying that they're wrestling, they're not getting along, they're butting heads over who knows what, because we butt heads over who knows what opinions, right? But he's saying help. So he's saying be there for them and walk with them. This transformation of self is a transformation, this internal peace that we can have access to, the peace of God that guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus is a peace which empowers to be like Christ to whom? To everyone. And to love our brothers and sisters especially. Which brings us to verse 8. I'm at time. It's all right. We're going to shut that off. We're going to shut it off. I'm not going to go too long, I promise. But at Christian Outlook, this all ties in. This all ties in. Verse 8 is incredible, and I'm going to forward my slide so we can see it. Oh, I skipped it. There it is. Finally, brothers and sisters, and I'm going to have you tell me the whatevers. Whatever is, whatever is. Whatever is, whatever is, whatever is, whatever is. If there's anything that's excellent or praiseworthy, what do we do with that? That's right. That's right. This is the vehicle. It's so funny. I watch a lot of videos. I don't know if anyone else in the room watches a lot of videos. I watch a lot of videos. I like to watch videos about progressions in nutrition and health and mental well-being. And something that comes up again and again and again, I don't know if you've watched any of those things, you can probably say amen to this, but something that comes up again and again and again is that our science of neurology, how the mind works, how the body functions, keeps being affirmed by Holy Spirit practices that have been said for 2,000 years, right? Like, that's crazy. Turns out having a positive outlook and being thankful has broad applications outside even the church, but even greater applications when we're walking by the Spirit in truth. So these things are realities across the board. And I was, the other one that I was looking at recently is I was listening to a doctor talk about the unbelievable health benefits of fasting. I'm like, isn't that crazy that like 3,000 years ago, God was like, hey, have your people fast like regularly as an act of worship. Pleasant side product, really good for your bodies. Like, it's really awesome. To me, anyway. So having a positive outlook, seeing the praiseworthy, not being a fearmonger, but a peacemaker, right? Having an outlook that looks at things with gratitude, even in your struggles, you're petitioning with thanksgiving. This is a very different way to look at life than what the world tells us we should look at, like how we should look at our problems. They want to sell us something to fix it. Usually something that's supposed to make you feel better. I don't want to feel better. I want to be transformed so that it just is better. I'm not trying to sell you something. I'm trying to sell you a whole new life transformed by God himself. We're going to have a cool opportunity on December 28th. To share testimonies. And so what I would like you to do, maybe this week, maybe next week, in the upcoming weeks, Christmas Eve's coming quick, and 28th is coming quicker. Your schedules are all going to get more full, I promise. So maybe this week is the best week. Write down a testimony, a praiseworthy or excellent thing in how this community has been transformative in this last year. Whether it's an individual relationship, whether it's one of my moments of pacing, or a moment in worship, or a beautiful song from the brass. It doesn't matter. But think about it. Write it down or write it down, and then send it to either me or Glenn or Bev, any one of us or all of us. And we'd love to review all the amazing things. We know a lot of cool things that God is doing, amazing things God is doing. We're celebrating one today. But there's so much more. And this is just a healthy practice for you to start doing what? Thinking the way, looking for the whatever in life, that whatever thing, true, honorable, noble, excellent, praiseworthy, and writing it down. Okay, here we go. We've covered outlook, we've covered peace, and here comes baptism. I'm going to invite up Glenn and Noah. They're going to hang out up here, and we're going to have a baptism this morning, folks. But what does this text talk, say or speak to us about baptism? There's a few things that I've already mentioned. This outlook can only be had to its fullness in Christ Jesus. A thanksgiving that surpasses understanding and circumstances can only be had in Christ Jesus. But Paul takes it a little further. He ties, there's a little bow in here, What's like when there's a little, an Easter egg. There's an Easter egg here in Philippians 1 through 9. And it's verse 9. Listen to this. Paul says this. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me, put it into practice. What's this sound like? What's it sound like to you? For me, it brought me right to Matthew 28:20. Because Jesus says, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. So there's an interesting echo back to what Jesus has said. Paul, a servant of Jesus, submitted to the Spirit of God for the glory of Christ, is saying, follow my example, listen to my instruction, receive what I'm giving you, and walk in it. And Jesus said the same thing in Matthew 28:20a. And then he goes on. Paul says, and the God of peace will be with you. And that sounds just like the second part of Matthew 28:20. Jesus says, surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. God is present with us in Christ Jesus. And Paul's encouraged us in verse 1 to stand firm in the Lord. In verse 3, that our names, if we've received Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our names are in the book of life. In verse 7, that the peace of God would guard our hearts and mind. And in verse 9, that God of peace is with us. This is a process. This process begins with us in making disciples. So all of us are called as a community of brothers and sisters to make disciples. These disciples are then baptized. A commission given by God as a physical action testifying to our death and resurrection into new life. My beloved friends, we with the angels are celebrating that today. A rebirth into a life where we, like Paul, continue to die daily, surrendering our lives to the leadership of the Holy Spirit, in whom we can walk as the peacemakers, the light bearers, the love bringers that God has called us to be. and through whom we can rejoice in the Lord. We can experience fullness of life and walk together into all truth for the glory of Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen.